Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Welcome back to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Rob.
Hey, everybody.
We're on the sixth episode of this comic book story arc. If you want to check out our previous coverage, check out our last five episodes.
So we start off with Batman riding an invisible sky cycle through the air.
Woohoo!
I mean, he's swinging, but the way that he's sitting there, it looks like he's holding on to like an invisible rocket, and maybe he's hooked up with Wonder Woman, invisible jet.
I mean,
he's holding on to the front of it. And anywho, he's just making his way around, you know, checking out for crime and stuff, and he sees this guy running down an alleyway and decides to beat the shit out of him.
Now, the guy was on his radar. This was the guy he was looking for. Yeah. But yes, it does seem very odd that he just stopped this one random guy.
But it turns out that this guy is like this well-known thief in Hong Kong or... No, it was Japan.
Yeah, somewhere in Japan.
And so the dude pulls a Tonto on Batman, tries attacking with it. Batman's like, cool, I'm taking this. It's mine now.
Well, but I like how when Batman knocks him down, he's like, I haven't done anything. Like, are you sure? You just tried to assault me with a deadly weapon.
And he's like, well, other than that, I'm on a vacation.
And I like how Batman just gives him a look like, uh-huh, sure.
And he's like, and then he tells him about like, oh, okay, not only am I on vacation, but, you know, somebody gave me a tip that if I really wanted some work, they're going to, you know, be knocking over the museum in Gotham again, because there's only a couple things here in town that are actually worth stealing. And
apparently museums have everything.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Gotham's big enough. It can have more than one museum.
Yeah. But anyways, he's like, he's like, so if you, you know, like, let me go and whatever, I'll give you the down low on that. Batman's like, okay, take your knife back. The guy's like, great, I didn't think you'd believe me, but now that you have,
I'm out of the 500.
And so we go, we get, I'm assuming it's the next day.
Yes. Because Bruce Wayne is there.
Yeah. And you've got this reporter that's covering this Masahiko Tahara traveling exhibit from Japan. And she talks about, you know, like the weapons, the armor, and all that stuff that's been handed down from century to century from the ancestors, and gives some. Then they point out the...
One of the sons fell in love with the... The group that killed the Masahako or Tarahara, the Tarahara family. One of the ones that were left, he fell in love with that group, and once he found out about his family's defeat, he had this new costume and weapons made, and went and took care of all of his family's murderers, and basically became a Japanese legend.
Yeah. And she's like, and with us today is the only person left of that family line,
a direct descendant.
And here's the curator, who looks shady as fuck. But anyway, I don't trust his eyes.
Maybe.
But while she's in like the middle of this interview with him, Bruce walks by and she just like stops. She's like, oh, Mr. Wayne, you want to go on a date with me?
No, that was after the cameras stopped rolling. Like, he asked, asked him about him donating to this, and
she talks about his dojo, and he's like, because everywhere he goes, he opens up a small dojo and takes on any challengers.
The descendant of, this is Yoshio Tahara, which is the direct descendant of both the Mashiko and the Koji Tarahara. Koji was the legend guy.
Yes, the ninja one. But then she chases Bruce down, and she's like,
she does a quick little interview with him, and then the cameras go off, and that's when she asks him.
And he's like, well, I'm free for the night. And he's like, yeah, that's great, Kay. I gotta go.
Well, he saw somebody he knew, which was Jason.
Yeah. And so, you know, he left the pretty lady for the little kid again.
No comment?
And he's like, Jason, what the fuck are you doing here, kid? And he's like, oh, I just wanted to learn everything I could about this because I get extra credit. Mm-hmm. And Jason's like, well, why are you over here looking at this junk when there's the other stuff over there? And Jason's like, well, this is the period we're getting our credit for.
Yep. So.
So, but at this point in time, Jason Todd is a ward of Bruce Wayne.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. So earlier in an episode, I was like, hey, so Batman is showing interest in the Todd family. Mm-hmm. That's why I wanted to bring that up, was because, you know, he becomes a ward and then he's spending a lot of time with them. It's like, how did Commissioner Gordon ever keep his job?
But okay, so here's the thing. He had another ward. Dick Grayson became his ward at one point. And so Dick Grayson got older. Bruce got lonely by not having boys around anymore. So he needed another ward.
So what you're saying is, Gordon's not a good cop.
Now, there are... there have been comic storylines where it's pretty damn obvious that Gordon knew, but looked the other way. There's actually in the deceased storyline, which just came out within the last couple years. Yeah, those up there.
Yeah.
Wait, no, I don't have them up there anymore.
Yeah, what the hell?
I took them down, well, because I changed everything around.
I see that. Are those Power Rangers?
Yeah.
Awesome. Anyways.
It's like all of them. In one of the deceased storylines, Jason actually confronts Gordon, like Red Hood confronts Gordon, and is like, he's talking to him, and Jason just looks at him. And the premise of the deceased is basically zombies in the DC universe, which is fucking amazing. Just saying. It's awesome. Great story. That may be one of those we might move up early. Probably not, because it'd be a while before we get to it. And Jason straight up just tells Gordon's like, look, you know who I am. And Gordon's like, yeah, like Jason Todd, Red Hood. I think he says Cassie Kane, Batgirl, Bruce Wayne was Batman. Dick Grayson was Nightwing. Like, he knew
all about his own daughter.
He knew about that too. Again, he knew all of it. But he looked the other way.
But did he know that Batman banged his daughter? I never.
So allegedly, there was. I wish we had Chris on here, because he could. They talked about this on one of the most recent Bat Friends podcasts. In Batman New Adventures, a Batman and Robin TV show, or whatever the. Whichever one was, there actually was a little playing around with that, with Bruce and Barbara. I don't know. I don't like it.
No. Well, because then in the Freeze one that we watched, wasn't she dating Dick?
Yeah. Yep.
Making her way around the Bat Family.
There's a comic panel I saw. And I don't know if this was just somebody just having fun or if this actually was in a comic. I doubt it. But it was Barbara coming back to Bruce saying that she's pregnant. And Bruce doesn't say anything. And then he's like, well, congratulations to you and Dick. And Barbara's like, it's not Dick's. It's like, I don't think that's a real panel.
But that'd be funny if it was.
If it, again, that just was one of those leads credence to them two having something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, so we're back in the Batcave after this. And he was talking about, you know, how he's trying to make up for his homework because he's letting his grades slip and blah, blah, blah. He talks about, you know, can I help you with anything? And asks him what his report's on. And he's like, oh, it's just a comparison of everything in the exhibit with everything that we've learned about, you know, England and blah, 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 blah.
Early 19th century stuff. Yeah. And just the differences between all of it. You know, the teacher loves all. Loves that stuff.
Yeah, and then Alfred comes in. He's like, I took the liberty of looking it over, and I think that it's grand. And Jason's like, oh, thanks. I'm so happy. I'm going to drink my milk. And cookies. Well,
I mean, they're Alfred cookies, so yeah. And this is, he's just relaxing. He's like, you know, Batman doesn't always need Robin. This is just a night off for Robin.
Yeah.
This is perfect. But then we go back to the museum. And this guard gets basically shocked by the suit of armor.
By shocked, he means terrified or scared, not like electrocuted.
Sorry. Yes, correct. Because he was the shocking last issue. But he gets surprised by the suit of armor of the Toshiko Tarahara
exhibit. I love it when hard-faced costumes change their facial expressions.
Did it?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Hold on, I'm going
back. So, there's nothing there. Like, there's no bottom to it.
Oh, that's, you're right. Well, this one's a full face, and it's angry.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Very interesting. Anywho.
But I love how the guard gets surprised by this suit of armor that it's alive now.
And then drops his flashlight, runs his fucking face into the side of a vending machine
and knocks himself out. No, that's another display.
Oh.
Into the glass of another display.
Well, at least you know the glass is pretty strong.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Cracked his skull instead.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure that they're happy about that. That way they didn't have to replace it. That cost money.
Yeah, you replace a guard. That's fine.
Exactly. By the way, you dropped your flashlight. You were fired as soon as it hit the ground.
Oh.
I used to have a boss that, when I worked at Walmart, like sometimes we'd climb up into the racks to get some stuff down so we didn't have to move a bunch of shit out to take them down for a forklift.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't mind you guys going up there, but as soon as you fall, you're fired before you hit the ground. It's like, wow. Yeah.
So you make sure you put a trampoline under you.
Just aim for the boxes. It'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Why did I land on all the glass? Anywho. But after that, I think this is the next night, right?
Yep. Because, you know, the guard tells cops what's going on.
And then Batman finds out about it.
Mm-hmm.
Batwayne finds out about it. And so him and Robin are just kind of chilling at the museum when Mr. Pitt comes walking out and all these thugs go to attack him. Well, as soon as the thugs show up to attack him, the samurai armor comes out and starts fighting with a
I don't remember what it's called. Naginata. Yep.
Then Batman and Robin show up and, you know, start knocking these guys out too. And the suit of armor runs back inside. And then when they get back in, it's just sitting there in the case chilling.
Yeah.
And Batman's like, something's suspicious.
Well, I like Batman's worried about the suit of armor. Robin is worried about the dresses. It's like, Batman, there's something weird about these dresses. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, I can talk about it later.
Man, oh, you know, that's because that's what he was looking at for his...
Correct.
His extra credit.
Mm-hmm.
So, then we go to...
The descendant. Yeah. I don't know. His name
was in his rented dojo. That's pretty lit, if you think about it. Batman shows up and he's like, have you come to steal from my dojo? And he's like, no, I've come to challenge you to a fight. And he's like, oh, take off of your mask. And he's like, nope. And he's like, we'll just fight. And he's like, all right. And then they start fighting and Batman easily kicks his ass. Like, yeah. And
twice.
Yeah.
Like, he knocks him down. They start laughing at him.
Yeah, because that was kind of a dick move.
But a little bit. But then the descendant grabs the Naginata and attacks Batman again, and Batman knocks him out again.
Yep.
But he also does the courtesy thing and picks up all the weapons that fell down.
Yeah, it's polite of him.
Yeah.
But then they bow, and he goes his own way.
Yeah.
We get to the next night again.
Look, it takes time.
Yeah.
Crime fighting takes time.
Batman's with
Pitt. Mr. Pitt.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Yep.
And they're walking. The curator. Yeah, they're walking back through the museum. He starts talking about the 19th century costumes. And he's like, yeah, there's no way I could get a look at them during the day because it was so crowded in here with the...
Since this new exhibit showed up.
And he's like, well, why would anybody care about something they can see all the time? For them to come to see anything but the Tahara display would be... And then as soon as he gets ready to say that, the samurai attacks again. But this time, with swords. So Batman's fighting with him. He's actually kind of avoiding fighting him. He's just dodging and stuff.
Exactly.
And
so this ghost, you would say, this suit of armor is doing more damage than Batman is.
Yeah, because
I think at one point when Batman dodges, the suit
destroys a whole case of whatever. Yeah. So the curator pulls a gun out of his briefcase, and he's like, "Oh, I've got to help. You know, there's no way he can win against Batman." And he goes to shoot Batman, and as soon as he does this. Throwing star shuriken ends up in the back of his hand and he drops the gun.
Mm-hmm.
We get a shadow on the floor, and it's the ninja descendant.
Yeah, the outfit.
The outfit for the of the ninja that got the revenge for his family.
Yep.
And
names are hard. We can't remember names.
And guy freaks out. The suit of armor hears him screaming like a little bitch, and. Gets distracted, so Batman ends up slapping the swords out of his hand.
Yep.
And then knocks his ass out. The curator, Pitt, goes for the gun, and the ninja guy catches him. And then they unmask the Scooby-Doo villain. And
you're not wrong.
And then after they unmask him, he's like, what? There's only supposed to be one ghost. Who is the second ghost? And Robin's like, yeah, it's me, your boy Robin.
It definitely, I mean, he looked bigger.
Yeah.
At first, and
he
then
looked
shrunk.
Like an adult, but he shrunk. Well, yeah. It's like when we were watching Godzilla vs. Kong, there are a lot of times when their sizes get distorted to fit into what's going on.
Yeah.
Like when they fight on the boats, they are not as big as when they fight in the city.
No. Because if they were as big as they fought in the city, those boats would have sank the minute they stepped
on
them. And
that's exactly what I told the boys. I was like, they had to make them smaller for this scene right here. Because if they were as big as they are supposed to be when they fight in the cities, these boats, as soon as they landed on any of them, it would have crushed them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Broken half. Fell. Yep. Yep. Now, the first one that Godzilla was on was kind of designed for that. Sorry.
Still wouldn't have been big enough.
No. Not for both of them. No.
Well, not even for him. Because
it was a big freighter.
But think about this. The size of a aircraft carrier, which is what they were jumping around on.
Correct.
On the other
those would have
okay. Those ones, there's no way they would have even held one of them.
No.
Not even climbing up onto it, they would have sank.
Correct.
It would have split them in half because of the pressure.
Correct.
In order for one of those to be big enough to hold something that's bigger than a skyscraper, they wouldn't be able to harbor it anywhere. It wouldn't be able to go through water anywhere.
But did you have fun with the movie?
Oh, absolutely.
There you go. All right.
Like we said, if there would have just been less people in it and more fighting monsters, it would have been better.
Well, that's the end of...
Okay, we are at the end.
That's the end of Batman. That's the end of our Godzilla vs. King Kong talk.
For now.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Batman story.